We are masked up, we are socially distanced, and we are ready to go for another week of Falcon Focus. Glad you're along. As here in the week, we will talk with Emily Sesso in our second segment, talking women's lacrosse. But we begin things with Greg Nicolai on the men's and women's golf side of things. My name is Matt Menzel. Thanks for joining us here on CUWFalcons.com. And, Coach, man, let's go back to spring.
Okay.
And you're preparing. You're thinking spring season, men's and women's golf, all of a sudden, not to be, COVID-19 hits. When did you find out? How did you find out? And what was your message to your team?
Well, we found out the week before spring break, and we were preparing to go on a trip and hit balls and play, et cetera, and we couldn't do it. So we were doing indoor practice sessions at a facility in Mequon, and in the evenings, and basically that Friday I said, you know what, let's cancel practice because spring break trips got canceled, and we found out that then classes got basically canceled and was going to online. So at that point, we just kind of wrapped it all up, and everybody left campus quickly. I didn't see any of my team until I saw a couple of them over the summertime briefly, just by accident, and really just trying to communicate through Zoom and emails with them that, hey, what's going on, how you guys doing, etc. But recruiting was the hard part in that you couldn't see anybody. You couldn't go out and travel and watch them play and get players in. We had big recruiting classes set up for both teams, and they obviously dwindled down to much smaller numbers, to where we went from about 6 on the men's and 8 or 9 on the women down to 2 and 4. So it makes it a big challenge to get those rosters filled to where we want to. Most of the kids still came to school, but they decided not to participate in sports.
I'm glad you brought the recruiting aspect of things, because I want to dig a little bit deeper into that in a moment. But when you look at last year's rosters, especially the senior class, because you know, obviously their careers came to an abrupt end.
Right.
You look on the men's side, losing 3 seniors, including Sam Schlosser. Women's side, you had 1 senior. But you look at it, the impact they had on the program. I guess, what do they mean to you when you look back at their time as Falcons?
Well, Sam and Andrew, who were my number 1 and 2 players, and Sam was a, you know, 4-year career athlete of the year. And I still stay in touch with both Sam and Andrew. They both turned professional, and I helped them get their job. So it means a lot that they're playing and they're still involved in golf. And, you know, the cool thing about Sam and Andrew is that Sam was out watching this past weekend's event at Washington County following one of his old high school and college teammates. It was kind of cool. So from that perspective, I try to stay in touch with those guys because they helped build the program to what it is now.
I want to go back to the recruiting, you know, topic that you had kind of touched base on. And you know, golf is a sport, I think, that, you know, with COVID and everything that's going on, it's one sport that you can almost play safely to some degree. You got social distancing, you're outside. So, I mean, there is some opportunity to go out and golf. But as you mentioned, it's still impacted as far as seeing anybody live. So, I guess, how did you go about then trying to figure out, you know, future pieces for the Falcon programs?
Well, still trying to follow junior golf best we can, from the perspective of watching scores, et cetera, talking to some high school coaches, going to some showcases locally. In years past, I would have gone to showcases in Illinois, Wisconsin. I even went to one in New York last summer that obviously we couldn't go to this year. So trying to find talent in other places got to be harder. So using recruiting services, et cetera, I was just sending out emails to recruits in Arizona that I've been in contact with over the years, and we'll try to go see them in October. But that's more from a vacation side, and here I'll tie in a little bit of here or there to it if we can, to try to nail down 1 or 2 recruits if possible.
I feel like I asked you this question a couple of years ago when we did the same program, but when you go about recruiting, how do you realize that a golfer is a good fit for Concordia?
Well, it starts first academically. So if we've got programs that they can wrap their heads around and it makes sense and they want a small school, it's a good starting point. If the mission aspect of it fits into who Concordia is and who they are, it fits again. And if they want to play college golf, we might be one of the few opportunities that they can do it at and still fit all of their academic stuff in. And the fact we play a split season, if they only want to play the fall or the spring, they have that option to do so. Obviously, we're looking for good, well-rounded people individually that can make up a bigger community, let's say. And if they want the opportunity to play golf and learn more about golf, I think I can help them do that.
By the way, and I didn't mean to interrupt but we got to talk to Jeremy Crawford about getting you a different mask.
That's
an adjustment, isn't it?
It is. And the smalls are too small, and the bigs
are too big.
Too big, you know. So maybe that's
one size does not fit all.
Right, exactly. I'm trying.
We see that. But, you know, before we talk about what's currently happening as far as men's and women's golf goes here in the fall and what is the makeup of the fall season, I got to ask about your golf game. You know, okay, with COVID going on, were you able to get out to the links quite a bit in the summertime, or that kind of take a hit?
I played more. I taught more. And I haven't played a ton of golf professionally this year, but we just had the Concordia President's outing yesterday, and I played in that at the last minute and helped out Steve Taylor's team, so not that we won or anything, but it was nice to at least get out and play a little bit. So trying to do a little bit more of that and be more active in playing golf, because I still enjoy it, and I want to play, and why not? Why shouldn't I play?
My question, I know that some say that golf is obviously it's a great escape, and it can be relaxing, but it can also be very frustrating.
Oh, absolutely.
But with all that's been going on, whether it be COVID, everything else that's going on in the world, do you still find it to be an escape? I mean, is it a little more distracting right now with everything going on with maybe different protocols?
Well, yeah, it's a little bit different, but I enjoy still playing it and being outside. And the thrill of hitting good golf shots is a blast. It's still fun. And even if I'm playing an event like yesterday, helping those people hit better golf shots is fun as well. I still get a thrill out of that as an instructor. So, and from the team aspect, we have more practices than nine-hole rounds these days because I want to help them get better. And I think to a point it's working both on the men's side and the women's side is kind of the aspect I'm trying to come from now. Early on, we played more. Now it's more practice time to develop those skill sets, let's say, that they need to hit those shots out on the golf course.
Before we touch on 2020, I want to wrap up, at least in your career standpoint, when you look at different courses you've played, is there one that stands out among the rest of you saying, you know, that's an all-time highlight?
Personally, for me, I mean, I've played the Straits a number of times. I've played Muirfield Village. I've played Milwaukee Country Club. I've played some out in Colorado that have been excellent. Down in Phoenix, I've played some in Florida. And it's just a matter of where I am and what part of the country. And there's some cool golf courses, Whistling Straits and Muirfield Village, where they play the Memorial, home of Jack Nicklaus. Those were probably my two all-time favorites. So,
do you have a bucket list course that you say, you know, I got to get there someday?
Augusta.
Augusta. That would be fun, wouldn't
Augusta,
it?
Augusta, obviously.
That would be fun.
The fact that the Masters is typically during in season makes it a little hard. I would even like to just go watch the Masters. And
sure.
I can get in with my PGA card. I can't get my wife in, so I need a ticket. If anybody's got an extra ticket, we'll go.
Look at this VIP over here. Let's talk men's golf for a second and the way things have kind of panned out thus far here in the fall. The roster, at least the way it breaks down right now, you have a couple of freshmen, four sophomores, one junior, five seniors. I guess kind of going in, when you look at this group on paper, what are the expectations?
Well, I think the expectations are high because the three seniors that are there out of my top four are all good players. And obviously my junior is a very good player as well. So now I need two more players to step up so that we can have that real solid squad going out there. And we're close. We're very, very close. Some of the newer players in that middle portion of the roster, we need to get them developed into that comfort level of being able to play and not succumb to the pressure of hitting bad shots. But we're very close to having five scores that could count.
I do have to ask while I'm thinking about it, on the top of my head, I have not been to a golf meet, at least at the collegiate level. So from a coaching standpoint, how does that work? Are you following – I mean, you just walk in, you know, different holes, seeing how things are panning out, or are you following certain people? How does that pan out for
a
coach?
It depends on the golf course. I mean, there might be certain points where I'm stationed at one spot, watching them all come through, and then others I'm traveling around. It's just a function of is it a tight meet, and am I on a strategic hole to where they got to hit a good tee shot and need help? Or do I need to see how they're all doing quickly in various points on the golf course? So it does fluctuate a little bit. The NCAA has now gone to potentially a two-coach scenario. So one of us might be stationed, one might be traveling. It's just a matter of how many people we have out there on the course at one time.
And I ask that because my next question, one of those seniors that you kind of referenced among the five on the roster, you have Nate Benjamin. He was a two-time all-conference performer thus far, and I guess, you know, from a coaching standpoint, what stands out about his game, and maybe what improvements have you seen from his game now in his time as a Fel kid?
Well, he hits the ball a long ways. He's typically one of those four scorers that we're going to be able to count on each week, and he's consistent overall. Very long off the tee, et cetera, and for like this last weekend playing in the wind, he hits a ball very low ball flight, and it works out very well for him. In windy conditions, if he gets it up, it's going to be really hard for him to control that ball flight. So the higher the ball flight goes for any of those players, it's going to be a little bit of a struggle because wind's going to affect it a whole lot more.
Another senior who has had an impact already being Dylan Carvalho, who has been all conference, but let's go back to September 12th as we kind of recap what has taken place so far for the men. And on September the 12th, you had the duel at the Deer, and out in Brown Deer, fell against Wisconsin Lutheran, but you had a junior in Jordan Carlton who stepped up in a big way. We mentioned Carvalho, Benjamin, also a couple of freshmen and a sophomore that have you know, performed well, at least in that first opportunity.
Correct. And, you know, we were trying to play as many as possible that we could. And the idea is to let's get them some experience and get those butterflies out of the stomach, so to speak, early, so that when it counts come springtime, I know I've got that fifth, sixth, seventh player on the roster that I can choose from as we need to when we get towards conference at the end of April, is why I'm doing it and playing more people so that they get that practical experience on the golf course and know what it's like to play in a college event.
Have most of the golfers, men and women, have they had the opportunity to play during the summer? For a lot of them, is it knocking off the rust from back when things,
no,
pre-COVID?
I think they all played, and it's just a function of how much did they get to work on their game, and were they able to take lessons at home, et cetera, and were they playing or were they practicing? Did they compete or did they just play? And trying to get them into that competition mode is a little bit different than just playing golf with your buddies or your mom and dad or whatever it might be. So trying to get them into that competitive mold of being tournament ready and ready to tee it up on the first hole and go and know what they're supposed to do.
Now, this past weekend, the men taking second place at the Wisconsin Lutheran College Fall Invitational. And how about the play of Carlton? He came up around a 67, lowest 18-hole round in program history. The old mark was 69, which was set originally by Andrew Otto in 2017, but then matched by Sam Schlosser in 2019. But you talk about a heck of a round for Carlton on Saturday.
It was phenomenal to watch. And, you know, it could have been better. I hate to say that and sound bad, but
I feel like that's coach speak, though.
No, he three-putted the last hole. He drove the 18th green and three-putted. You know, so that alone, if he just two-putts, is 66. He made two bogeys on the front nine and going, holy cow, this could have really been something that probably wouldn't have been touched ever. I anticipate that he's got a chance to tie that or break that record. He is playing so well right now and had lots of opportunities to probably take that better. I think that the top four guys can all shoot that score. And they've all had the opportunities to shoot that number. To where over the summer they did it, or they came close to doing it, or in past experience they've had the ability to shoot that number. So I look forward to putting all of them together to see what they can do as a squad for an 18-hole team or a 36-hole team or the opportunity to shoot individual numbers. But obviously, as a team, I want to see us break, continue to break those records too.
Let's switch sides now on the women's side. Larger roster this year, four freshmen, three sophomores, and a senior being Amy Carpenter. What have you seen from Amy Carpenter, who's been an all-conference performer?
Amy played great. We competed just the one time so far at the River Club against WLC. She played extremely well, shot a career low 89, won the event by 11, 12 shots, whatever it was, and looking for her to continue that. I the expectation is there that she should continue it, with the idea that some of these freshmen will step up and play to the ability that they were kind of recruited at. And when we do that, I'm going to feel really good about where we're at.
Well, I was going to bring that up, too. You mentioned the freshmen. And I think that's what stood out to me about what took place this past weekend is the immediate impact they had, at least in that competition from the River Club.
Mm-hmm. They played overall better than I guess I was kind of expecting, with the intent that I think with future advancement that all of their scores will come down from there, and that puts us into a position to compete with Aurora, St. Norbert's, etc. within the conference. We anticipate getting Gabby Flacco back for the spring semester because she's studying online in Colorado, but we get her back, it's going to make that team deeper as well and hopefully more competitive.
To wrap it all up, what does the road ahead look like, at least here in the fall, as you prepare for what we hope will be a regular spring season?
Correct. We have more meets scheduled. The men will be competing on Friday out at Old Hickory against WLC and MSOE. Received word late last night that MSOE is cleared to compete, so we'll see what happens with that. And then the following weekend, both the men and the women have some competition on that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then we'll wrap up our season with an event at Marion on October 10th up in Fond du Lac at Whispering Springs, and that'll be both teams competing. We'll take all the players, if they're available, to go to get them as many rounds as possible this fall. Let's compete. We got the ability to compete. Let's do it. And we're finding more schools available and willing to do it at the end of the year. We'll extend it, October 10th, 11th, 12th if we need to. So,
let's knock on wood. Hope
yes.
Everything happens.
Exactly.
What a time to be alive. Coach, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Best of luck the rest of the fall. And when we come back, we will turn our attention to women's lacrosse, and we'll talk with their head coach, Emily Schessel.